This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
A gender analysis by the Hlanganisa Community Fund has revealed that there's a striking gender disparity within the political landscape of the country, and there are no female presidential candidates out of the 36 political parties contesting elections, with not a single woman vying for the highest office. And so they are saying that they've delved into deeper data that becomes evident that only 15 out of the 36 political parties have achieved gender parity or better, with female representation at 50% or above. So speaking to the Hlanganisa Community Fund CEO, Bongiwe Dodo. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Ndamla. Thank you for having us, and good evening to your listeners.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you very much. Of course, you look at a number of issues. There's something that stands up and out and confronts one immediately. It's the fact that you're saying that there are no female presidential candidates from any of the parties that are contesting.
I think that's not entirely true. So yeah. I think we've got the good party with Patricia de Lille. I think she's still the head of that party.
Yes.
So we are therefore assuming that she would be naturally the presidential, you know, candidate, so to speak, for that party.
Mm.
But, you know, one out of so many parties is just not acceptable.
And what I suppose there's Sarah as well, as the former speaker from Gauteng, Makwele is the same name, though I think she's their presidential candidate as well.
I believe she might be an independent. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it's something we can check. So they've registered as a party, but there may easily be one or more. That's the point we're making. Yeah.
Yes, that's the point. And I don't even think that it's the main point, Ngamla, because what we are saying in the analysis is that we were looking at political party manifestos, and we're trying to look at the extent to which they are taking into account the disparities between women and men,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so the gender analysis was looking at not just the parity issues, how many women are represented and whether they are, there's quotas or not.
Yes.
But how are the parties proposing to deal with the issues that impact women?
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who is in power, male or female, there are issues that impact women differentially and sometimes disproportionately. And those issues have got to be dealt with by whatever government we put in place. And in fact, I think when we talk about the issues that impact women, those issues impact women, yes, but they are societal issues, So to the extent that we cannot, make them, issues that should be dealt with by a female president, even whatever, president comes into being,
yes,
has got to deal with those issues. We've got issues of gender-based violence. We've got issues like, the energy crisis. The energy crisis impacts women, disproportionately. We are the ones at household level who are, preparing food and therefore impacted, by the energy crisis. When we walk on streets that do not have lighting because of load shedding and so on and so forth, we are the ones who are exposed to, to gender-based violence, to rape, assault, femicide, and so on and so forth. So even outside of the numbers.
Is the argument, that a woman presidential candidate, actually, no. Is the argument that, hypothetically, a woman president would attend certain issues, whether they are women particular, whether it's gender-based violence and so on, would attend them differently from male president?
I think the starting point is that, Ngamla, is that we of the registered voters, there is more than 3 million, there's 3 million more women than men, right?
Right.
So all these, these 3 million more women than men are going to be voting for parties whose demographics don't, represent the electorate, the electorate.
Mm.
So what I'm saying, are we saying women are still no good as leaders when they form the bulk of the electorate?
Mm.
Yeah, and they form the bulk of our population. In this country, we've got over 1 million more women than men.
Yes.
But going into the election, we've got 3 million more female registered voters than male registered voters. And all of us are going to be voting for a largely male-dominated, you know, political party, regardless of how you look at it.
Yeah.
So those are the issues that we are asking, certainly from a gender parity perspective and a representation, and for society to, for the leadership positions in society to reflect the demographics of society.
Well,
right?
Let's talk about that gender parity issue, but let's move away from the figureheads and look at the bodies. So I'm reading here that you are saying 15 out of the 36 political parties have achieved gender parity or better.
Right.
And this is in the broader representations of party members, candidates that are going to be representing in legislatures and parliament.
That's correct.
Okay, so how do we read that and put it back into that conversation? What does that tell us?
Well, it tells us that there is some progress, but it also tells us that so we're talking about 15 out of 30 odd parties, but we're also talking about 13 parties that have got less than 30% women, female representation. So, you know, one must be concerned about the 13 that have got less than 30% representation.
Mm.
So whilst we celebrate the 50%, you know, those that have achieved parity, we must be concerned about those that have not reached parity. But like I'm saying, you know, even parity alone is not enough, you know, because we've seen South Africa's got one of the highest, you know, female representation within the legislature, right?
Mm.
The national legislature, much higher than many countries on the continent.
Mm.
And yet, it's very clear that the policies that we continue to pass through that legislature are very much gender blind. You know, they are not sensitive to the needs and aspirations of women in the country.
Are they?
They are not.
I'm saying, are our policies very much gender blind? Is it?
Oh, yeah, they are very much gender blind. I think a lot of them are very much gender blind. So let's look at
including the very recent ones passed.
Well, so if you look at the manifesto, remember that this analysis is based on manifestos.
No, but we're talking policies passed. That is something that has happened in the National Assembly that is going to be implemented as government policy. Manifestos are promises people make, but what is passed in Parliament, that's what we implement, isn't it?
So when we look at what is passed in Parliament, for instance, so let's look at land. You know, as an example,
yes,
there is nothing within the policies that speak to, land restitution that puts that center women and the needs of women. It's as if women and men in this country are on the same footing.
Okay.
So if we look at energy and some of the, let's look at the NHI. You know, recently the president passed the NHI bill, right? Signed the NHI bill.
Yes.
But even that, you know, the majority of people who use the health facilities are women.
Okay.
And yet, there is not enough attention paid to the issues that impact women within the health services. It's as if men and women's utilization and, advantage and disadvantage within the health system is the same. And we are saying it's not. So those policies, it's not just about gender-based violence and, you know, all the things that, impact women directly. There's a lot of things that impact women indirectly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Good evening. That is Bongi Wendoto there from the Thanganisa Community Fund.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.